who is a holy and righteous God, one who executes sin accordingly. So let us get into our passage. Who is Micah? Well, Micah, we know, is a minor prophet, and he lived and prophesied, well, he lived in the southern kingdom, but he prophesied all throughout the region, and he was one of the prophets that was around at that time, such as with Amos and Hosea, and some would even say notably Isaiah, right? He's a contemporary of Isaiah. So Micah at the time was living around 742 BC to 687 BC. Now, these dates might not mean anything to you. 742 BC, 687 BC, it might not mean anything to you, but it will mean a lot when we talk about the destruction of Samaria. Okay? This might not mean anything to you, but it means a lot when we see the dates connect. Okay? So in 742 was the time when about 60 or so years. He started his ministry and he started proclaiming and warning the people of God, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, you know, we see as Israel and Judah. He's starting to warn them of their idolatry and their wrongdoing, their sins. You know, you guys need to repent. You need to repent. And he says, and in our passage, chapter 1, Micah proclaims that Samaria will be destroyed. Samaria has incurable wounds. So Micah starts talking about this destruction. What does this destruction look like? Let's look in our passage. Verses 3 to 4, and then 5 to 7. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. So you notice there's this image that the Lord will leave his dwelling place. He's going to leave heaven, all right, his kingdom. He's going to leave that place, and he's going to tread on the high places of the earth. So imagine this figurative image of God stepping out of his dwelling place, and his foot steps on the earth. And when it talks about high places of the earth, this actually is referring to temples of idols. Typically, when you worship in Samaria and also even in parts in Jerusalem, there's accounts where they would build places or they would have places where they place idols and they would place them on what we call high places, you know, mountaintops and hilltops. And so these high places, they would place idols there and they would worship these places, just like how they would place Yahweh in such an exalted high place and they would worship him there. So you see the problem. So God says, I am going to leave my dwelling place. And he's going to come down, and his foot is going to step on these high places. Later we see where God says he will crush and destroy and demolish those images. So when he steps on the earth, the high places of the earth, and the mountains will melt underneath him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like waters pour down a steep place. God's wrath and God's judgment that comes upon a wicked and sinful people is one that is so powerful. It is so magnificent. It is so fierce that it can melt mountains. It will split the valleys. It's so fierce and strong that you can hear it and it cannot be ignored. That's the thing. It cannot be ignored. Like, I've said this many times, if you guys ever go to Niagara Falls, you know, you look at Niagara Falls, it's overrated. It's just a waterfall, whatever, right? But there's one thing you cannot ignore about Niagara Falls, is the sound. When you're driving to the place and you're getting closer, you can hear the waters falling and crashing. And when you get closer and closer to the actual place where the water is falling down and hitting and crashing to the rocks, and the other waters on the bottom, you get to really experience how powerful that sound is. And it describes the wrath of God against sin and against a nation. And it speaks of something that is so magnificent and so powerful, you can't ignore it. You absolutely cannot ignore it. the sound is so fierce. His glory and His wrath is so powerful. It melts mountains. You know, geologists and all that, they say it takes millions of years, or a very long time for mountains to decay and become nothing. But God, the image of this God is He steps down and it will melt because He is so fierce and so powerful. Of course, this isn't a literal image of God, but it is a figurative image. And then we go on to verses 5 to 7. And this is for the... So why is God doing all this? Well, all this is for the transgressions of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. So you have the transgressions of the northern kingdom. And what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? We'll talk about that. What it means, Samaria. And what is the high places of Judah? Or in the Hebrew, you can also translate it as, and what are the sins? Or what is the sin of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem, who is the capital city of Judah? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap in the open country, a place for planting vineyards, and I will pour down her stones into the valley and uncover her foundations. Like, lift up the foundations, uncover it, and all her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, all her wages shall be burned with fire, and all her idols I will lay waste, for from the fee of a prostitute she gathered them, and to the fee of a prostitute they shall return. Now, I use this image, and I got the permission from Justin, because he's from this part of the world, and I don't want to embarrass those who are from this part of the world, but imagine this, Vancouver, right? I don't want to use Vancouver Island or Victoria, but I'm going to use Vancouver. It's kind of a stretch of an illustration, but imagine Vancouver, right? All the tall buildings, you know, all the hills, and everybody likes to hang out in Vancouver. Fourth Ave, downtown, Robson, right? Right? I think Robson, I think that's what it's called, where the Sears is at. Anyways, I don't really go off too much, but I do know some streets, right? You got Robson, you got Granville. I mean, everybody wants to hang out there. Parents, your kids want to go there. So when they tell you they're studying, they're not studying. They're out there in downtown hanging out, okay, with no money and walking around. I don't know why, but I guess it's kind of a fun thing. Anyways, everybody loves Vancouver. Well, okay, maybe not everyone. People from Surrey might not like Vancouver. Anyways, so Vancouver is this major city where you have tall buildings. It's beautiful. It's clean. And it's a poppin' place, right? It's like slang. It's poppin'. Right, everybody wants to go there. It's a great place. It's a hub for everyone to want to congregate and hang out and all this. It's beautiful. Now imagine this. God's wrath is so powerful, it can turn Vancouver into Saskatchewan, right? Where it is. What? That's, I've never been to Saskatchewan, but I've heard jokes of Saskatchewan. So, sorry, Ray. So imagine, you know, and we know Saskatchewan as being this flat prairie land. Justin was saying that it's so flat that you can see a rainbow start and a rainbow end, and you can even see a lot more than that. So it's so flat and wide, and there's nothing there. Well, I mean, no, I'm sorry, there are stuff there, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to, you know, so the image you want to see is pretend or imagine is God's wrath is so powerful. It destroy an entire city. A city that is popping, a city that is booming with a lot of stuff going on. God's anger and wrath is so fierce that it can turn that place into an empty, vast, flat land. That is the image of God's wrath against a sinful nation. That is the image of who God is. You cannot ignore it. You cannot. You can try, but you cannot ignore it. Now, why Samaria? Why Samaria? Why Jerusalem? Right? That's a good question. Why Samaria? Why Jerusalem? What? Because what's wrong with Samaria and what's wrong with Jerusalem? Well, Samaria is the capital city of the northern kingdom of, you know, Israel. Jacob, you know, what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? It's the capital city. And what are the sins of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the capital city of the southern kingdom. Now, you guys might wonder, well, why the capital city? Because, as you guys know today, the capital city is where all the important decisions go down. Ottawa is where all the laws are made. Victoria is the place, if you want to be a politician, it's the place where you go in order to impact the rest of the world. It is the hub, the center, where laws are passed, are made, and it is where people go to change the world. Samaria and Jerusalem was these places. They are the capital cities. They are the major cities that are supposed to be the representation, the reflecting image of who their one true God is. Instead, what they did was, instead of showing how great God is, Yahweh is, they prostitute themselves to idols. Not only do they worship other idols, but they practice injustice. The rich became richer. The poor became poorer. Or at least the poor found it harder to get out of that state. There was a lot of corruption that was going on. People's farms were being taken away. A lot of backdoor deals, things that are immoral happening. Of course God is going to be upset. Because what these people, this Samaria and Jerusalem is supposed to be, they fail to do. Instead, they allow themselves to be corrupted by immorality. And that then translates and it trickles over and it affects other people outside of the capital cities. So the sins... Oh, actually, I'll read you this. In Micah chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Now, listen to this. Micah chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Its heads give judgment for brides. So these are judges and judicial people. So these people who are supposed to be fair and unbiased, they are taking bribes and they are making judgments according to whoever pays the most. Its priests, okay, these are spiritual leaders. Its priests teach for a price. So basically, they're only serving in what we call today, what we would call today the church, for money. They're only here because they're being paid. And they would only do it if they are paid. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet, and here's the kicker. They do all these things that are wrong, okay? Yet, they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in our midst? No disaster shall come upon us. You know how crazy that is? You do all the wrong things. You do all the things that are contrary to God, right? Contrary to what God should be reflected as. We do all the contrary things, and yet we convince ourselves and we tell ourselves, we're okay, God is with us. God will take care of us. We're fine. Nothing to worry about. God will take care of us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins. And the mountain of the house, a wooden height. So you see here, the sin of Samaria, the sin of Jerusalem, is that, one, they were ripping people off. Two, the poor wasn't really being taken care of. And if anything, they were taken advantage of. People of authority and people of leadership was selling themselves for money instead of taking care of God's people. And because these things take place and they're worshiping idols, everybody gets hurt by this. So God proclaims judgment against Samaria and Jerusalem. How does this look like today in our church or in church today? Now, I might be kind of stretching it a little bit, but I want you guys to think about it this way. This is somewhat relevant in the church today if if we're not careful. You know, this mentality that the church might have, do whatever you want mentality. You know, this idea that you do whatever you want, you don't necessarily need the Bible, you necessarily don't need Jesus Christ, you don't necessarily need to preach the gospel all the time. Why are you always talking about Jesus? Why is it always about Jesus? You know, this mentality that the church becomes a social club, a networking place where you network your business to other people in the church, and this idea that it's about building your contact list, this idea that the church is about popularity and clicks, this idea that, oh, this person is strange, let's not spend time with them. Oh, you know, let's keep our crew and let's not care about anybody else. Or this idea that hey, the church needs to be needs to, you know, really be with it at the expense of excluding Jesus, at the expense of compromising the Word of God, at the expense of theology, biblical theology. Then the church becomes what? A building, a people that it's not really reflecting Christ, is it? And what's worst of all is when the church does all this and they think God is with them. That's the worst part. This idea that I can worship money, sex, material things, my career and all this stuff. I can worship it and exalt that so much higher than God. But yet you can convince yourself that God is with you. And God will do no harm to you. I give you this. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Now why did I, in the beginning, I mention the period of Amos. I'm sorry, not the Amos, of Micah. When he served from 742 to 687 BC. The reason why I said that is because Micah tells Samaria that God is going to destroy you around the middle to later part of the 700s. In 722 BC, this is historical, and this is important that you guys understand this. Around 722 BC, the Assyrian kingdom invaded Samaria and destroyed Samaria. Took captive and destroyed Samaria. And later on in 701, around 701 BC, the lower kingdom, the southern kingdom, eventually gets overtaken by the Assyrians. But what's amazing is this. Jerusalem was not taken over. Every territory around Jerusalem was taken over by the Assyrians, except for Jerusalem. You know why? It's because Hezekiah heard Micah's proclamation of judgment if you don't repent of your sins. And he repented. And God had mercy on Jerusalem. Micah, I don't know why I keep saying Amos. Micah, he lived to see this happen. He lived to see this happen. You know, one of the things, and I'm going over time, but I really want to drill home is this. Yes, God's wrath is fierce and serious and should not be ignored. But know this. Those of you who hear this, repent of your sins, ask for forgiveness, and God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, will forgive you. And you, hopefully, will be spared if you at least acknowledge that you're in the wrong and you need to repent. Not just that, but we as a nation, or we as a church, should always be mindful and careful about how we operate and what we do. So the second point of this, and I've been going pretty long, is so I don't want it to be all doom and gloom and all that, but it's going to be a little bit more doom and gloom. So hold on. Okay. So the second point is this idea of judgment and the image of who the true ruler of the earth is. Because remember, when judgment was proclaimed to Samaria, people rolled their eyes. People are like, yeah, whatever. They weren't listening. They weren't listening to Micah. They weren't listening to Amos. They weren't listening to any of these prophets. They're like, yeah, whatever. Sure, God's going to destroy us. Sure, God's wrath is going to come upon us. No, no, it's not going to happen. God is with us. Inevitably, it did happen. What about now? What about today? We know that the true ruler of the earth today and forever is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 12, I'm just going to read this. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. This is speaking in the future tense, the day when Jesus returns. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account for himself to God. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. As I look, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. We know in our Bible study of Revelation that speaking of the Son of Man, who is Jesus, his throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment and the books were open. Daniel chapter 7 verses 13 to 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion. This is what was given to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus is exalted in heaven as the King, not just King and Judge over the heavens, but the King and Judge over the earth, over you, over every nation, over every people group. Every single person is submitted before the footstool of Christ. He is not just king, but he is judge. And he is the witness of the wrongdoing that is taking place. He is the plaintiff as well against our sins. This image of Jesus Christ being king, ruler, and judge is one that is realized today. So if you guys think that we can get away with sin, and we can prostitute ourselves to, oh, I worship God and I also worship money. If you think you can get away with this, you're wrong. Jesus will return one day, and every single person will be judged. You know what's really interesting about Micah's passage? Who is Micah speaking to? Is Micah speaking to the Gentiles? The unbelievers living out on the street or outside of church building? No. Micah is proclaiming judgment first against the people of God. And I'll tell you this. If God will judge the people of God, how much more will he judge those that reject and those who reject him? So as I close with this, the way Micah responds. Micah responds, for this I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will make lamentations like the jackals and mourn like the ostriches. You know, this image of mourning and wailing is very important. I couldn't find a passage today, but I know it's in there in the New Testament. But there's a passage where Paul pleads with God and says, God, because Paul had so much compassion for those that he was ministering to, those sinners that wouldn't repent, Paul was essentially asking if his place could be taken, like the roles would switch. Judgment will come upon Paul, and that God would have mercy on behalf of these unbelievers. You see that with Moses, right? When Moses plead on behalf of a nation saying, God, don't judge them, don't have wrath on them, instead, put it on me. The reason why they do this, and the reason why Micah was wailing and mourning, is because he fears God. Because he knows that this is a real thing. He fears God, and because he fears God, he cries and he wails and he mourns over those that are lost. I ask you guys as a church, do we wail and mourn and cry out over those who are storing up judgment and wrath? Do we? Are we willing to say, do we love people enough to say, God, take their wrath and place it on me, and let them have my righteousness in Christ? You know, I think if we truly want to love people, you got to first fear God. If you fear God and His wrath against sin, then you will love people, because you know how scary that is for those who don't know Christ. So let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we definitely have gone a little over time, and I definitely have been long-winded, but Lord, Your word is not long-winded. Lord, I thank You so much for the hope that we have if we acknowledge that we're in the wrong and that we need to change and we need to be faithful to You. Lord, cause us to repent. Cause us to surrender our life unto You. And for those of us, Lord, that are still stubborn and still fooled, deceived to believe that we can worship God and worship other idols and other gods and images that we've made, Lord, help us realize that is not the case, and that those people are storing up judgment for themselves as well. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven through faith in Him alone. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that our church would be like Micah, in that we would mourn and wail over what is going on. Lord, what is going on, the injustice that is going on, the problems that are going on, the people in the world that are lost and broken and are storing up wrath. Lord, let us mourn and wail on their behalf. And let us love them because we fear You. And that, Lord, let our love be shown as genuine, sincere, and true. And may Your name be glorified and exalted. In Jesus' name, amen.